there would have been such a movement of goods and carts and wagons carrying supplies for the ships that would be along the harbor here. And there were hundreds of ships along the many wharfs here throughout the waterfront here in Newport.
And a large part of the trade that was conducted here at one time included slaving vessels. Just how big was the slave trade in Newport?
Newport was blessed, in a sense, with this incredible natural resource called Narragansett Bay and Newport Harbor. Narragansett Bay is one of the finest, if not the finest, natural deep water port along the east coast of the United States. And Newport in particular, where it is situated at this part of the bay, has easy access to the ocean. So the bay is so important in this story that without it, you don't have trade, period, and you don't have the slave trade. The economic importance of it can't be overstated. I mean, you had these sailing ships that had to be built, for one thing. Shipbuilding was a huge industry in Newport right here in the early 1700s. You had rope walks, these buildings that were sometimes a quarter of a mile long, a half mile long, producing rope. You had coopers who made the barrels that the rum had to be transported in. All sorts of merchants involved in this trade. About half the population was involved in the maritime industry in the early 1700s.
And we should say that Newport wasn't the only port in Narragansett Bay that played a role in the slave trade. Slaving voyages also departed from Providence and from Bristol. Matt Boyle, can you trace the journey for us that these ships were taking?
The route of the ships would basically be the triangle, in a sense, would begin in Newport, where the ships would depart and sail across the Atlantic Ocean to the west coast of Africa, where these ships would anchor. They would make contact with local chiefs who would arrange for this trade. The number one commodity that was traded for the slaves was rum, about 90% for these slaves. In Africa, the Rhode Island slave traders were known as rum men. Rum out of Rhode Island was of higher quality than what could be obtained anywhere else at the time. It had a higher proof, and it was a prized commodity in trading for the slaves, and it gave Rhode Island slave traders a leg up on other slave traders, and it was a competitive market. The slaves would be shackled, taken aboard the ships. They would be basically stacked like cordwood down below. And it was crucial that the ships did not spend a lot of time in West Africa, because you had sicknesses that could develop aboard these ships. The ships would depart as soon as they could basically fill their holds with this human cargo. They would sail across from West Africa to the Caribbean. That part of the voyage is known as the Middle Voyage or the Middle Passage. I can't begin to imagine what they went through. They were chained down below for 23 hours a day, usually brought up on deck and fed and forced to exercise. And in some cases, they had to be force-fed. The slave traders had to keep the slaves in good health. Otherwise, they were not going to be able to sell them at the highest prices when they arrived in the Caribbean.
And then these slave traders would trade those slaves in the Caribbean for sugar and molasses, which they would then bring back to the rum distilleries here in Rhode Island. What has happened to those distilleries? Are they still around today, any of them?
The distilleries are all gone. There is a new distillery that was built here just a few years ago. So there's one rum distillery here in Newport. At one time, we had between 20, 25 different distilleries here.
What's your feeling, Matt Boyle? Do you think people are aware today of Newport and Narragansett Bay's history in the slave trade?
I think that, you know, there certainly are some people that are aware of it. You know, being a history teacher, being a teacher just in general, it does concern me that we don't know our local history like we should. I don't think a lot of people are aware. And those that are, I think they probably underestimate the degree with which Newport and all of Rhode Island was involved in the trade. You know, at one time, Newport was the leading slave trading port in all of North America. It's a small fraction when you look at the overall slave trade during this period of time, but if you compare it to the rest of the colonies at that time, Newport was clearly a dominant force in the slave trade.
Now, Matt Boyle, most of the slaves picked up by these ships never got a glimpse of Narragansett Bay themselves. They were sold onto sugar plantations in the West Indies and the Caribbean. But some of them did make it back to Rhode Island. What would their life have been like here?
Well, their life certainly would have been better than living on a sugar plantation, which had the highest mortality rate of slaves in the Americas. Some of them went to the agricultural areas over to South County. Many of them were involved here in Newport as domestic help. But there were also specialized, skilled Africans who were brought here to Newport. It's interesting that some of the latest historical research on this indicates that many of the early slaves in Newport were second-generation slaves from the West Indies. And they were employed in all sorts of tasks here in Newport. They were working in the rum distilleries. They were working in the rope works, making rope for these ships. So they were involved, in a sense, in the trade also through their labors here in Newport.
That's such a strange irony.
It is. And it's you know, it's difficult for me to kind of wrap my head around a lot of this stuff, you know, in this day and age. But, I mean, it happened, and it happened here.
How do you address this legacy when you're teaching history to your middle school students?
Well, it's, you know, I definitely have an advantage in that I can point to local places here. I can mention names that they're familiar with. I mean, the streets of Newport are, you know, many of them are the names of men who were involved in the slave trade. The Wantons, the Bannisters, the Channings, Cook, Vernon. I mean, these are names that are very familiar to people around town. And I don't think a lot of people make those connections back to how some of these people made their fortunes or a portion of their fortunes.
Well, Matt Boyle is a history teacher at Thompson Middle School in Newport. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
It's been a pleasure.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.